Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf Mem Aleph, and we're starting at the very top of the Omid with a brand new Mishnah. And today, Yemiyat Hashem, we're going to be Messiahim, the first, this third perek of Masechtas Ksubis, the famous perek of Elul Aris. So what does it say in the Mishnah? Oimer pititi ez bitoy shel ployni, mishalem boishes upagam al pi atzmoy, ve'en mishalem kenas. So, the halacha that our Mishnah tells us is that a moide, the atzmoy, is chayiv. If a person is moide that he owes mamain, he's got to pay. After all, it's haiduas. Haiduas baldin kemei edim dami. Thank you, Brother Barry. Exactly right. If the person says, I owe, then we take him at his word that he owes. Notice that this only affects him. It doesn't affect anybody else. So, if he wants to say that he owes money, gizun tahait. But that only applies to the boishes of begam. It doesn't apply to the knas. And the reason why it doesn't apply to the knas is because the Gemara says in Masechtas Bava Kama, moide beknas is potter. Why is it potter? Says Rashi, because it says in the pasuk, asher yashion elihim yishalim shnoyim. That's talking about a case where a person has to pay kefil because he stole something. So Asher Yarshiun Elihim, so the Gemara Darshan's Prat Lamarshia es Atzmai. And therefore, when we're talking about paying kefil by a gneva, that is a form of knas. And here too, when we're talking about Chas V'Shalom, a person is Ma'anis or Mafata, a young lady, this is the din of knas of 50 shkol. So if he says, I did it, a person Moide b'knas is potter, he doesn't have to pay for the knas. Of course, if there are two edim, he's got to pay. We're talking about a situation where there's nobody that's willing to come to the plate except the perpetrator himself. And he says, yes, I did it. Boishes u'begam, which are payments of mamay. We learned in the Mishnah and the Gemara yesterday what the measure of boishes u'begam is. That's something that you can measure. That's what you got to go and pay mamanis. However, when you're talking about knas, moide b'knas is potter. Now, the obvious question that the Gemara is going to ask momentarily, morning, Rabbi, we just started the Mishnah, and which Rashi already points out, or Mem Aleph Omer Aleph, Rashi already points out, our perek typically focuses on a ma'anes, someone who chas v'shalom violated a young lady. Why does our Mishnah talk about pititi as bitoy shel ployni? Why doesn't it say anasti as pitoy shel ployni? That's what Rashi really asks. And in Yetzir Shem, we'll see in the Gemara, the Svara, to machalik between oynis and mafata. Now, since we made this distinction between momoin and between knas, the Mishnah continues on giving us another three or so examples of that same halacha, even though it's not related to us, Ma'anis and Bafata, but it's related to the concept of Haidoas Baldin Kimei Edom Dami and Moide Beknas is Potter. So for instance, Ha'oimer Ganavti, person said, I stole a particular object. And we find that the guy is guilty and he has to pay kefil. Says the Mishnah, Mishalom B'Sakern Alpi Atzmoy, Haidoas Baldin, he's got to pay the keren. He agreed, he stole this keren, he's got to pay it. Why? Because both of those are forms of knas. Moide b'knas is potter. Similarly, heimis shoyri es ployni, oi shoyri shel ployni. Har is a mishalom al pi atzmoy. What happens if a person had a shor and the shor chas v'shalom killed someone, or shoyri shel ployni, the shor killed another shor? In both of these cases, we're talking about paying mamay. In the case of the hamis shoyrei es ployni, he is chayv to pay koifer. There's a machloikis above a kama with a kufra kapora or kufra mamayna, assuming that it's kufra mamayna, meaning it's mamanis like any other mamanis. So we just said the Mishnah already twice. Haiduas baldin kimei eidadami. If he's moida that he owes this mamanis, he's got to pay. No question about it. So both by the Hamis Shoyri es Ployni, when he has to pay Koifer, by the way, the Gemara is going to tell us, we're assuming that we're talking about a Muad, because if a Shor Tam, you're Potter Mina Koifer, And we'll see about that. There's a machloikis as well. Mitchum to be continued in the Gemara. But the question of the Hamish Shoyresh Pliny, that's a Dovah Pashut. If my Shor Muet goes and kills someone else's Shor, you have to pay the entire amount. Harizim Mishalam Al Piatzmai. This is not a Kanas, it's Mammon, you gotta pay. However, Hamish Shoyri Avdoy Shor Pliny, there the Torah stipulates that no matter whether or not that Eved happens to have been an Eved Noikev Margulius, a person who is a brilliant Eved, very skilled, very talented, or if he happens to be just simply a person who is a Masa Machat, or he's a Masa Machat, which means he doesn't have any great talent, makes a difference. The Torah says, you got to pay Shloishim Shokel. So since there's that stipulated amount, it's a Knas, and he told me you have a Knas, we said Moed B'Knas is Potter. So Hamish Shoyri Avdei Shoplaini Ein Mishalim Al Piatzmi, he doesn't pay because it's Moed B'Knas. In all of these cases, of course, if you had Edim, he'd have to pay. We're talking about that there are no Edim, it's just this person on his own, a nice, honest individual. He says, unfortunately, Bezin, it's true, my Shor went and killed the other person's Eved, and the Bezin says, unless and until we have Edim, you do not have to pay Al Piatzmoi, Moed B'Knas is Potter. And then the Mishnah does a roundup with a Zehaklal. Kol HaMishalim Yeser Al Masha Hizik. Whoever pays more than the Mominus that he was Mazik. For instance, in the case of the person who stole something, where he pays not only the Keren, he also pays the Kefil or the Dalet Vehei. No, that's Mishalim Yeser Al Masha Hizik. And Mishalim Al Piatzmoi, because Moed B'Knas is Potur. Jok Dimar.
Wait one second, you mentioned, this is a Shor HaMuad, a Shor Tam who would do damage, would he be, and he said, my Shor Tam damaged somebody else's property. Okay?
Barry, you're asking an excellent question. Please bear with us another 5 or 10 minutes. We're going to discuss that in some detail. Mietzushem. Okay? Start the Gemara. Zok Gemara. We started Ho'imer Pititi as Bitoi Shor Pliny. Frey Gemara of a listing on Nasty. Why does it say pititi? Why does it say onasti as bitoy shel pliny? Says the Gemara, we could have said onasti, but we want to say a greater chidush. Loi mi boyo kamer, loi mi boyo onasti loi kapogim lo to mishalim poishes ubegam al pi atzmoi, al pititi to kapogim lo aim loi mishalim al pi atzmoi kamash volan. What does the Gemara mean to say? When it comes to the physical act of being ma'anes or mafata, certainly the ma'anes does a greater crime, if you will, than mafata. Because ma'anes means he's violating a young lady without her permission, and he's causing tsar, besides, of course, the boishes and the pagam. He's a bad guy. The mafata, on the other hand, he's no great jewel either, but nevertheless, at least it was consensual. That being the case, it's not that same type of crime. That's only when you talk about from the physical aspect. When you talk about, however, the reputational aspect, I see sergeants with a Shalom Aleichem, Brucham Aboyim, welcome back. We're on Mem Aleph, Amir Aleph. We just started the Gemara. And what the Gemara is telling us, is that from a reputational standpoint, saying about a girl that she was Nansa is much better than saying that she was Nispata. Meaning that if she was violated, she happens to be an innocent bystander, an innocent victim of this person's terrible Yetzirah that he violated her. Nothing wrong with her. She was a fine, wonderful Bas Yisrael. Unfortunately, this fellow came and he did his terrible Masa that he was Ma'anasar. On the other hand, if we say about a young lady that she engaged in consensual relationships when she happens to be a single girl, then she loses her reputation in the whole community and everybody says, look at this young lady, her bad morals. She doesn't wait until she gets married. At the age of 12 and a couple of months, she's already living with boys. It's terrible. Nobody's going to want to get close to her in terms of a shidduch, etc., etc. In fact, the Gemara is going to say, it leaves not only a blemish on her reputation, but even on her family's reputation, that they have girls in that family with such bad morals that they go and live without the benefit of chuppah v'kiddushin. So says the Gemara, this person in our Mishnah, when he makes the admission that pititi as bita shoplaiti, or for that matter, like the Gemara asked, if he said anasti as bita shoplaiti, on the one hand, it's very nice of him that he's coming to Bezin, and he's being honest, and he is being moide that he owes the money. On the other hand, it's causing damage. He's being moitzi laz on this young lady. Truthful laz, or fake news, whatever it happens to be. But her reputation is going to suffer by his statement in Bezin. Which statement is worse? Is the onasti worse, or the petiti is worse? Our Gemara says, petiti is much worse, because saying that she was violated, she's nebuch, an innocent victim. If anything, people will have rachmanis on her and say, nebuch, look what happened to this fine young lady. On the other hand, if they hear that she lived with someone consensually as part of pitoy, they'll say, yeah, ah, shiktze, ah, nobody. Good. So therefore, explains our Gemara. Loy mi boya anasti, loy mi boya k'amar, loy mi boya anasti, d'le kapogim lo, not only in the case of anasti, where he says to Bezin, I was ma'anis, this young lady, that he's not poigim her kovid in terms of her reputation, the mishalim boishas begam, there he has to pay boishas begam al pi atz moi, moide, by mominis, haiduas baldin, kimei eidam dam, he has to pay. Al pititi legabi, the case of pititi, the kapogim lo, that he is ruining her reputation by saying that she lived consensually with him. I might say we don't want to believe him. Why don't we want to believe him? Because if we accept the money on her behalf, meaning giving to the father, no father giving to her, then that means that what he said is true. And therefore, we are establishing the truth of what he said, that unfortunately she has bad morals. And therefore, I might think we shouldn't believe him. Loi mishalom al piatzmoi. You are believed to go and damage your own pocketbook. Hoidos baldin kimei edim dami. But to go and damage somebody else's reputation, who says, you got a few shaykits, get out of Bezin. What right do you have to go and be moitzilaz on this young lady? And therefore, I might think he should not be mishalom al piatzmoi, because his tashlum al piatzmoi is authenticating and verifying what he said, that she is a lady of bad morals. Mashmalon, that's why our Mishnah says, no, he is believed when he says pititi, and therefore he is mishalim al piatzmoy for the boishes and for the pegah. So it could have said anasti, but our Mishnah wants to tell us the greater chiddush, that even pititi, he is believed, even though it will have negative reputational effect on this young lady. So you could put a two dots over there, because our Gemara now starts on a new track, and it says about our Mishnah, that our Mishnah is not like the following Tana. Remember, our Mishnah distinguished between Boishas of Begam, where he is Meshalim, and Kenas, where he's not Meshalim. The Sani will end the price of Shimon Yehudim, Oyma Mishum, Reb Shimon. Ah, Boishas of Begam, Eina Meshalim, Al Piyatz Moi. Even Boishas Begam doesn't pay. So that's the distinction between our Mishnah and the Braisa. Our Mishnah says, yes, he does pay Boishas Begam, and the Braisa says he does not pay Boishas Begam. What's the reason why you don't pay Boishas Begam? For the same reason that we were speaking about a moment ago. Who gives him the authority to go and say bad things about this young lady? This might all be a bubba masa. It could be that the whole thing never transpired. He's willing to go and give a lot of money because he wants to ruin this young lady's reputation. And therefore, says the Gemara, we don't allow him to pay anything, says Reb Shimon here in the Braisa. Because any payment that he's going to make, people say, nah, it looks like that what he's saying is true, and that in fact she is a bad girl, and therefore we should distance ourselves from her, and all the other good girls won't want anything to do with her, and nobody will want to go and listen to a shidduch with her, etc., etc. So therefore Reb Shimon says, don't accept any money, because any money that you give verifies that what he's saying is true.
What would be his motive in such a case? We had a principle earlier, Eidah the Mosei pseudo masido. A person doesn't just throw away their money. Why is he, if this whole thing is fake news, why is he doing this? Why is he paying money for boshes and pagan for no reason whatsoever?
I would venture to guess that this fellow, obviously himself is a person of bad morals, went over to the young lady and said to her, I'd be very interested in living with you. Would you be interested? And she turned him down and slammed the door in his face. And he says, okay, I'll teach her a lesson. He goes into Bezin and says, we did live together, and I'm willing to pay the 50. Because, in other words, to get back at her for because she denied his advances.
Only the money. It's a year's income. I mean, 50 shkolim, if you were high...
Listen, you look in the next Gemara. I hear you loud and clear. Look in the next Gemara. Omli rapap liyabaya, nicholo ledido mai. What happens if she comes into Bez and says, I know that my reputation is being damaged. However, I am so desperate for funds, let him go and pay me the 50, even though people are going to say, oh, that verifies and authenticates that it's taka true. It confirms that it's true that they live together. She says, I'm moichel on my covid, hand over the money. What will we say then? Even though she says she doesn't care about her reputation, but maybe the father will feel that there's now a stain and a blemish on his reputation forever. And therefore, again, don't go and pay the money. What about Nichol Eli Avia Mai? What happens if the father, Nebuch, is so destitute and so poor, he'll say, I don't care about the COVID, I need the money desperately. I need the money. What would you say then? Would Bezin go and enforce and pay the money? Tell the Ma'anis and the Mafata to pay the money. Maybe the rest of the family, they don't want to, the uncles and the aunts, they don't want people to go and say that they have a niece with these loose morals going on. And therefore, that's another reason not to go and pay. You see from this Gemara that the inyan of boishes of begam is not only the individual herself, but it's the whole arum and arum, meaning the entire family is part of that boishes of begam. They don't want to have that busha, that begam, that they have a niece, that a Nebuch agrees to consensual acts. So tomorrow, nichol ubnei mishpacha mai. What happens if we take a poll of all of the local mishpacha people? They're all poor. They're all destitute. And they say, this is good. We've had already enough mud thrown at us during our lifetimes. We'll accept another mudsling. Hand over the 50 to the father of this young lady. So at least they'll have panasa, and at least we'll have a little bit of security in this world. Says Yimar, even if all the local fellows say, yeah, we're maskim, there may be an uncle, an aunt, a cousin that lives in England, or in Eretz Yisrael, and word gets around very quickly, and they'll say, oh, did you hear, in America, in New York, there's a young girl who happens to be their niece, or their cousin, or what have you, who they say about her, that unfortunately she has loose morals, etc., etc. So you see from all of this, that the Gemara is asking, we have to weigh the payment against the kavod, and the Gemara ultimately says, that the kavod in the mishpacha is very important, and therefore we will not allow this fellow to go and pay, and with this try to confirm his laws that he's saying about her, that she is a bad girl, she's a girl of loose morals. Now, Barry, you remember in the Mishnah you asked already about the case of the short tam, and that's what the Gemara is going to go into right now. But he doesn't have to go and pay the knas of keful or dalet v'hei. Itmar. Palganiska. What means palganiska? So, we're talking about a short time. Short time means a person bought a shor, and the shor went and unfortunately gored another animal, or for that matter, gored a human being, and caused damage. How much do you have to go and pay? Torah says you have to go and pay chutzi nezek. Why do you have to pay chutzi nezek? You know, it's senishtahin nishtaher. Either the Torah should go and say he's chuyav on the entire hezek, or the Torah should go and say he's potter. What's this compromise of 50%? Palganiska. So the machloek is between Rav Papa and Rav Huna Rabbi Yeshua. This is a famous Gemara. I have this all over Bava Kama, And we're getting into this because of the Moide B'Knas, this part that we had in the Mishnah. So Rav Papa Amar Palgen Niska Mamoina. Rav Huda Ben Rishu Amar Palgen Niska Knosa. What's the Svara over here? Rav Papa Amar Palgen Niska Mamoina. Palgen Niska Mamoina means that the 50% that he pays, this is bona fide partial compensation for the damage that was caused. Because Kosovar Stam Shvarim Lav Becheskesh Shimur Kaimi. The Gemara assumes, that the Torah assumes, that when you buy a shor, you have to go and watch it. Even if the shor appears to you to be a nice, tame shor, on a hot day, or if it gets a mosquito bite, or if it gets a bee sting, it might get so enraged and so angry that it is likely to go and gore another animal or an individual. And therefore, you cannot assume that this is a nice, tame shor. You always have to be on your watch. You always have to have a shmira. If it's in a corral, make sure that there's a door to the corral which is locked at all times. And so on and so forth. Ubedinu mita ikra din de mishalim kule. The truth of the matter is, when this type of shor, every shor is dangerous. Therefore, you really have to go and pay the entire amount logically. For Rachmanu utachai silave. However, the Torah has rachmanis on this individual, dakati loya yayatura, because after all, this is the very first time. Yeah, you're telling me that all shvarim across the board, they all have the la b'cheska shimakaim, they all have the potential of being dangerous. I agree, they have that potential. But in the meantime, this particular shor seems to be the exception to the rule. He seems to be a nice shor. Every time I go and pat the back of the shor gives a smile, and he's very tzufriden, and he's very happy. So I assume that everything was fine and dandy. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you know what? Since it didn't happen more than once, it didn't happen three times, we give you a break. Really, mitzvah din, you should pay 100%. I give you a break, you only have to pay 50%. Rav Huna Rebbe Yeshua says just the opposite. Omar, palgen niska kenasa, paying the half of the nezek, 50%, is a kenas. Your average shor is a quiet, tame, nice shor. He'll only get angry if he gets angry. But under normal circumstances, he's nice and tame. So the truth of the matter is, I, the owner, I had no idea, no concept, no havamina. I didn't fathom that this nice, tame shor could do any damage. I never could have believed it. And therefore, Minatay really shouldn't have to pay at all. Rachman Hu Dekanse, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, put on him a knas, ki hechad ninterei l'turei, so he should do shmira after all. You're right, the average shor perhaps is tame and doesn't cause trouble, but you never know. It could be a hot day, it's 95 degrees outside, the shor gets agitated, there's no air conditioning, and this shor might be hungry, might be thirsty, dehydrated, whatever it happens to be, do an extra level of shmir. So really, the nizik is not entitled to anything according to the second Monday Yomar. So Kadosh Baruch Hu put on him a penalty on the mazik, go and pay, nevertheless, not the full amount, pay 50%. Then why did we bring all of that? Because it's related to our Mishnah that we're talking about a Moide B'Knas, his potter, so we're going to try to prove who's right and who's wrong. Is Rav Papa right that, in fact, Palgen Niska Mamoina, or is Rav Huna Rebbe Yeshua right and Palgen Niska Kenasa? And the Gemara is going to bring a series of Mishnayos, including our Mishnah, to try to prove the point. So we have a Simon Hezik Ma Behemis Klal. It's tonight. So the first Mishnah is, again, it's not a Mishnah over here, it's a Mishnah in Mesechtes Bava Kama, Shteit Mishnah Hanizik VaMazik B'Tashlumen. When it comes to a short time, the Nizik and the Mazik both share in the compensation. They're like partners in the compensation. So Zuf Yimara, explain to you, what does that mean? Mishlem Levandi Yom HaPalgen Nizkim HaMoino HaDishayach Nizik B'Tashlumen. If you're telling me that, in truth, this person should have had to pay 100%, however, Kadosh Baruch Hu had rachmanis on the person and said, well, since this is the first time, you're a first-time offender, you only have to pay 50%. So then I understand what means 50-50. The mazik has to go and pay 50, and the nizik has to endure and shoulder the pain of losing 50. Because logically, he should have gotten 100, But the Torah says, no, you share in this Tashlumen, so it's 50-50. That I understand. Elamandiyama Palganiska Kanas, so if you hold like the second Mandiyama, then the whole Palganizik is Mitzad Kanas. And therefore, really, the Nizik is not entitled to a dime, because how would I have known that my shor, who's been such a tame, nice shor, is going to harm someone? I couldn't fathom that. So it's the Torah is just putting on a knas, a penalty. Why? Like the Gemara said, kehechi denintur l'ture, make a shmira after all. So ivazoi, then the nizik is really not entitled to anything, because logically it's a first-time offender. You automatically get a freebie and you don't have to pay anything. But the Torah says, no, you got to pay 50%. So hashudulav didei koshokul madach, that the Nizik receives something that he's not even entitled to. I mean, theoretically, once you put on a Knas, we might have said, you know what you do with the Knas? Go and give it to the court. Go and give the Knas to the mayor of the city, so he should go and use it for paving the potholes. Use it for tzedakah, give it to a yeshiva, to a koil, to a person who needs a chnosis kala. It's a Knas, right? So the fact that the Nizik gets it, it's really he's not entitled to it. How can you go and say that he is paying part of the compensation by the fact that he's only getting paid 50%? He's not paying any compensation. To the contrary, whatever he's getting is manna from heaven. He should be very, very happy. So the Loshen Nizik Amazik B'Tashlumen sounds like the man the Yom that holds Palgan Niskam Moino. Says he more, no. Lo Nitzrucha El Lepchas Nevela. What the Gemara is really telling us is that the Nizik shears into Teshlumen in another respect. What's that other respect? So Rashi explains. Normally this animal, the mushal, is worth $500. That is the victim. The shor tam went and shtoist means gored the other shor, and now that shor is no longer worth 500, it's only worth 100. It's gone down tremendously in value, because now it's just a nevela. By the time they get to the court, the animal, which was a nevela worth 100, has sat there in the Rishus Rabim, or wherever, and actually the din applies in the private Rishus, in his own Rishus, whatever. The animal is just lying out there in the sun. By the time they got to court, the nevela was worthless, totally worthless. Who is the one that has to go and make sure that it doesn't get worth even less than the original damage because of the goring? It's what the Gemara calls p'chas nevela. P'chas nevela means that nevela will continue to decline in value every single minute that you don't do something with it. So, somebody has to be in charge. And the answer is, in Bava Kamma it says in the Mishnah, the p'chas nevela is on the Nizik. The Nizik that owned this animal, yes, unfortunately he suffered this terrible accident, that whatever, negligence, whatever you want to call it, that the other shor went and damaged his shor. The owner of the victim shor, the Nizik, he's the one that has to go and get rid of this carcass quickly. He can go and call up the local non-kosher butchers and tell them, I have over here a nevela, can you use it? Sure, we'll give you $100 for it. Ship it over immediately, so at least he gets the benefit of that $100. The mazik is off the hook vis-a-vis any further decline in value post the terrible event that caused this shor to be gored and to die. Ah, says Dr. Yimar, that's what we mean, ha-nizik v'mazik v'tashlumen. Even if you hold a palganiska is kenosa, however, the value of the nevela at the time of the goring, that is now the nizik's headache. And now the nizik, he has to shoulder the responsibility of keeping that $100 intact. If he doesn't, if he lets the nevela go and decline in value further, that's on the nizik's budget, that is not on the head of the mazik. And does Dr. Yimar, the p'chas nevela, that's what we mean, ha-nizik v'ha-mazik b'teshlumen, the nizik participates in the teshlumen by worrying about the continued decline in value of the nevela. Frey Timara, p'chas nevela, that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell you. Tanina, I have another Mishnah there in Mesechtes Bava Kama, that says, what do we mean, tashlumei nezek? It could have said that the mazik is chayv to go and pay for nezek. But it says he pays tashlumei nezek. What's the what does tashlumei nezek mean? Melamed shabalim mitaplim minaveila. Tashlumei nezek means that they're mashlim to whatever the carcass is worth. The carcass is worth 100, then you have to go and be mashlim and add the additional amount, meaning the amount of the hezek, depending whether it was a tam or a mu'ud. So I see that tashlumei nezek already tells you that the mazik is mashlim on the nezek that was caused. In which respect is he mashlim? That from the time of the nezek until the hamad bedin, until they go to court, it's the nezek's headache and not the mazik's headache. So freitimora soy bazoi, if I already learned that from the word tashlumei nezek, why do I have to repeat it and say hanizik v'hamazik b'tashlumin? That means both of them mean the same thing. B'chas nevela. Everything more chodeh b'tam v'chodeh b'mut. It's telling you that both in the case where the original animal was gored as a result of a short tam, or if the animal was gored by a short mu'ud, in both cases, it's the nizik that has to worry about the continued decline in value post the event. Zokti Mara, why do we need chodeh b'tam v'chodeh b'mut? It's richa. The Ashmin and Tam, if you're telling me that the animal that gored was a Tam, that's Mishim Dekat Eloya Yait, we are making life as easy as possible for the owner of the shor that caused the damage, because after all, he's really blameless. He's owned this shor for 10 years, and this shor has been the most tame shor that you've ever seen. It's been like a pussycat. Really nice and friendly and smiley and a givaldic. This is the first time they ever had an incident. It didn't become a mood until now. And therefore, that's why I say, Nizik, sorry, you have to worry about the b'chas nevela. Avamud ayayit, where you're talking about that this animal was dangerous. We knew it was dangerous because this animal has already gored 3 times. Then I would say, imaloi. Then the nizik can say to the mazik, mazik, you're a bad guy. You knew that you have a dangerous instrumentality. There's shor amud. You should pay for the b'chas nevela. It should be your headache after the incident to go and sell this animal and get whatever value it can get. You know why the nizik has to go and worry about the b'chas nevela? That's because the mazik is paying for the entire damage until the point of the incident. In other words, since the mazik is already paying such a huge amount, he's paying everything. So we say, okay, nizik, you have to shoulder some of the burden as well. You have to take care of the b'chas nevela. Avotam emoloi, when it comes to tam, since the mazik is only paying 50% anyway, let's throw on him the additional headache to go and resolve, sell, take care of the carcass. Three chalats, I have to have both cases. So the maisa, I don't have a clear-cut raya whether or not palganiska mamoina or not. So let's bring another raya. Toshima. Ma bein tam lewood. Can you tell me the differences between tam and wood? Number one, shetam mishalim chatsi nezik megufay mu'ud mishalim chatsi nezik shalim mino aliyah. Number one, besides tam paying chutzi nezik and mu'ud paying nezik shalim, there's another difference too. And that the tam pays chutzi nezik megufay. Megufay means from the value of the shor that did the goring. What happens, for instance, the bad shor that went, the mazik shor, shor hamazik, that went and damaged the shor hanizik, let's assume that shor hamazik was a scrawny animal and was only worth $200. Okay, what happens now? It gored this nice, huge, beautiful animal, which was worth $500. And what happened now? That animal was totally decimated and is worth zero. Since it's worth zero, he has to pay chutzi nezik. How much is chutzi nezik? How much is half of 500? So simple arithmetic tells you it's 250. However, the shor hamazik is only worth 200. So the maximum that you have to go and cough up is the value of gufay, meaning the 200. And the nizik will forfeit the other 50, because that's the din of tam mishalim chutzi nezik migufay. Mu'ud, on the other hand, mishalim nezik shalim min aliyah. Min aliyah means from the best. And aliyah could be defined as the attic, but over here, Rashi says, aliyah means min hametav, that the mazik caused damage of $500 to the nizik, so he doesn't. We don't look at the value of the shor hamazik, but rather we go and tell the balabus, either pay cash, or if you don't have cash, you're going to have to go and pay from metav sadeu or metav karmi yishalim, you're going to have to go and pay from min idias, from the best real estate that you own. Ah, so that's a major difference. Why does it say another difference? We're saying, what are the differences between tam and mud? I have another difference. If you hold the tam, palganiska kenasa, then you wouldn't pay the kenas al piyatzmoy, because moid be kenas is potter. But the mud you would be mishalm al piyatzmoy. What did Barry say at the beginning of the shir? You would have to pay. Why doesn't it say that difference too? I'll tell you why. Because palga niska mamoina, and therefore he's mishalm the tam al piyatzmoy and the mud al piyatzmoy. Is chayra raya that palga niska mamoina and not knoso? Everyone nishkaray tana b'shayir. This mishnah leaves out other differences between tam and mud. What are the differences? My shayir the high shayir shayir chutzi koifer. What's the din of chutzi koifer? So again, Barry, remember you raised this in the mishnah. If chas v'shalom shor hamuad killed someone, shor hamuad killed someone. The pasuk says ashor yisokel v'gam ba'ol of yumas, but it doesn't mean literally ba'ol of yumas, because the next pasuk says im koifer yushas olav. You have to go and pay koifer. What's the amount of koifer? Is machloikis mesechtes bavakama, whether it's kufra kapara, kufra mamoina, whether you pay the value of the mazik or the value of the nizik, but you gotta go and pay heavy duty amounts because your shor killed somebody. What happens if the shor hatam that killed somebody? So the Gemara learns from a pasuk that chotzi nezik, you are potter, because the pasuk says, uval hashor noki. The Gemara learns, noki michatzi koifer. So basically, you don't have to pay anything if your shor tam went and Rachman Litzlon killed someone. No, Ibazoi zokti Gemara. So why did it leave out that here it left out chatzi koifer, that you do not pay chatzi koifer? Meaning that we could have said another difference. Ma bein tam lemud, shetam einoi mishalim koifer v'chatzi koifer. You pay nothing. Umud, yes, mishalim koifer. Why doesn't it say that nafkemina? So just like that nafkemina doesn't appear, this about tam mishalim al piyatzmoy also doesn't appear. So you don't have a raya one way or the other. Says Yimor, no. Imishim chutzi koifer lav shiruhu. If you're talking about chutzi koifer, then that is not a shir. You know why it's not a shir? Because, mani, that mishnah that we just quoted, as Rabbi Yosef Glili, he the ometam, is Mishalem Chutzi Koifer, even though we, the Rabbanan, disagree. But if that Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, that it's Mishalem Chutzi Koifer, then we were not Mishayer anything. Are you going to tell me, says Rashi, I was Mishayer, because it should say that the Tam Mishalem Chutzi Koifer and the Mu'ad is Mishalem Koifer Sholem? Says Rashi, that's not a Kasha, because that's included as a subset in the Halacha Nezek. We already said ma bein tam lemuad shetam mishalim chutzi nezik umu mishalim nezik shalim. So including chutzi nezik means as an extension, as a subset, chotzi koifer and muad mishalim the ganze koifer. So that already says. So kum techois, I have no other shir. The only shir that I have is this one about that the tam ena mishalim al pi atzmoy muad mishalim al pi atzmoy is chayitaka raya that. Chatzi or palganiska mamoina and not knosa, and that's why we don't distinguish between tam and muad and say tam ena mishalim. Tam is mishalim al pi atzmoy, just like muad, because both of them are mamonis, they're not knas. Toshima, let me try to bring yet another raya. Hey mishori es ployni, oi shori shel ployni, harze mishalim al pi atzmoy. My shor. Now, this quote that the Gemara is bringing now, that is, of course, from our Mishnah. That's why we got into this in the first place. Hey, Mishor is ployni. My Shor Nebuch went and killed the individual, that other individual. Oy Shor Shor ployni, or my Shor killed Yenim Shor. How is the Mishalim al piyatzmoy? You do pay al piyatzmoy. My lab. Now, Again, the Mishnah didn't specify whether it was Tam or Mu'ud. When we learned the Mishnah, we said it's talking about Mu'ud, and then Barry asked, what's the din legabe Tam? But our Mishnah was L'choyde talking about Mu'ud. So my love says, you want, maybe it's talking about Tam. And if it's talking about Tam, and it's saying that Hamis Shoyri es Ploini, or Shoyri shel Ploini, has a Mishalim al Piatzmai. Ignore the first part of the Hamis Shoyri es Ploini. Let's just focus on the Hamis Shoyri shel Ploini. Now, if you're going to go and tell me that we're talking about a Tam situation, so you only pay Chotzinezik. Nevertheless, Mishnah says, there is a Mishalim al Piatzmai. So you see that you have to go and pay al piyatzmoy, that it's not a knas, that it's mamoin. Is the charai that palga niska mamoina and not knasa. So tomorrow loy. We're not talking about a tam, we're talking about a mu'ud. When it says in the Mishnah, heimis shoyri es shoyri shoploini mishalma piyatzmoy, it's talking about a mu'ud situation, that the behemoth had already been, had gored already three times, and therefore this is real mominous nezik shalim, and that of course you have to pay mishalm al piyatzmoy. So that works beautifully. So k'mar avu b'tamai, what's the din l'gabi tam? You're telling me ain't a mishalm al piyatzmoy. When you only have to pay chutzi nezik, he would not pay al piyatzmoy because you're saying that palga niska k'nasa. So frey t'imara adatoni seifa avdu shalplayni ain't a mishalm al piyatzmoy niflik v'nisni b'dida. Our Mishnah quickly changes channels from the case of Hamis Shoyri es Shoyri Shoploini, that it's Mishalim Alpi Atzmoy, and you're saying it's because we're talking about a Mu'ud, where by Mu'ud you have to pay Nezik Sholim, and that's real mominous according to everybody. But then the Mishnah said, but if it was an Evet Shoploini, ain't Mishalim Alpi Atzmoy. You know why? Because there you're already talking about a case of Knas of Shloshim Shekel, and Mu'ud of Knas is but. So, Frey Timur, why do we have to go and talk about going from Shor, killing a Shor, to a Shor, killing an Eved? Nifrik v'nisim b'nidah, let's talk about the very same case. B'meir Dvor Mamurim, when do we say in the Mishnah, Mishalim al piyatzmoy, b'muad? Because that's mominus. Avotam ain't a Mishalim al piyatzmoy. But if you're talking about a Tam, then it's Knas, and you're not Mishalim al piyatzmoy. Why did the Mishnah have to go into the bullpen and schlep out an Eved? Why are we talking about whether the original Shor Hamazik, whether it was a Tam or whether it was a Mu'ud? And then we can distinguish between Knas and Mamoin. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't say that, it sounds like our Mishnah says, no, there is no difference between the Chutzi Nezik or Nezik Shalim. The both of them happen to be Mominis. This is Nezik Shalim. This is Palganiska Mamoina. And that's why in all cases of the Mishnah, Mishalim al pi atzmoy. Everyone is kakasha. Kula bin moyed kamayri. Kula bin muyed kamayri. Meaning, you're right. We could have distinguished between Hamis Shoyri es Shoyri Shoplaini and the case of Hamis Shoyri es Avdoy. We could have distinguished between Hamis Shoyri es Shoyri Shoplaini when it was a muyed, and then he's Mishalim al pi atzmoy, because he pays full moment. And when we could have said, Avol, if the Hamish Shoyri, if my Shor was only a Tam, ain't Mishalim al pi atzmoy, we could have said that, you're right. But our Mishnah is not trying to distinguish between Tam and Mu'ud. Our Mishnah is trying to tell us, Hilchois Shor Hamu'ud alone. And it's telling us, if the Shor Hamu'ud went and killed another Shor, Mishalim al pi atzmoy, because you're paying mominus. However, if the Shor Hamu'ud killed an Eved, then ain't a Mishalim al pi atzmoy, because that's a knas of Shloshim Shekel, and therefore our Mishnah is consistent in talking about Mu'ud. We're not going from Mu'ud to Tam. Let's go back again to our Mishnah and bring another Raya. Zeh HaKlal, the Mishnah ended off, this is the general rule, Kol HaMishalim, Yezer al Mash Hizik, ain't a Mishalim al pi atzmoy. If you pay more than the Hezek, you don't have to pay al pi atzmoy, moide b'knas is potter. So the obvious case is, l'moshe l'gabi de Geneva, where the Torah says you have to pay either kefil, or by a shor v'seh, t'vochei mechore, you have to pay dalet v'hei. The keren is Mishalim al pi atzmoy. But anything more than that, that's yoiser al ma shehizik, right? Kol Mishalim yeso ma shehizik, and Mishalim al pi atzmoy, because that's a knas. So let's be medayik the Loshon HaMishnah. Dafka, because it's yeser mashizik. Hapochit mashizik. What happens if the Torah tells you you pay less than the amount of the damage? Then mishalom al piyatzmai. Then you do have to go and pay al piyatzmai, which would be, of course, our case. When you have a shor tam that went and killed another shor, and you have to pay chutzi nezek, then our Mishnah infers that you mishalom al piyatzmai. It's only if the knas is more, not if the knas is less. Hapochit mashizik, mishalom al piyatzmai. Oh, is the charai that palgen niska mamayna and not knasa? Because if palgen niska is knasa, why would he have to pay al piyatzmai? Moide beknas is potur. Is the charai good charai? So tomorrow you have no right. Loi tamer hapochit mashizik. Don't be medayik. The lashon of Mishnah is if you pay yeser al mashehizik. So you're being medayik, hapachis mashehizik, then he's mishalom al piyatzma. Don't make that leap to that inference. Ela eima, but rather the inference should be hakim mashehizik mishalom al piyatzma. If you're paying more than the amount of the damage, then ain't mishalom al piyatzma. But if you're paying the exact amount of the damage, then you pay al piyatzma, because that's mamon. Okay, that sounds good, but now the Gemara is medayik. What would be the din of a pachis mai? What would be the din, in fact, if you're paying less than the amount of the hezek? Then you say, there too, and mishalom al piyatzmai. Anytime you're not paying the exact amount of the damage, if you're paying more, or if you're paying less, you're not mishalom al piyatzmai, because it's a knas, and moide b'knas is pot. If that's the way you're learning the Mishnah, then listening, then the Mishnah should be much simpler. Zeh haklal. This is the general rule. Kosha eine mishalom kimoshe hizik, eine mishalom al piyatzmai. Whoever is not being mishalom kimoshe hizik, he's not paying the exact amount of the damage. He's paying either more, or he's paying less. Eine mishalom al piyatzmai, because that's a knas. And the knas is potter. The mashum pachos, the mashum yeser. Why wouldn't the Mishnah say it in that fashion? And therefore says Yomara Tiyuvta, you know what? You're absolutely right. The man diyoma that holds palga niska mamoina is correct, because that's why the Mishnah says that dafka, if you're paying more, is it a knas? Ve'ena mishalom al piyatzmai. But if you're paying less, you're paying chutzi nezik. That's real mamoin. That's not knas. And therefore he's mishalom al piyatzmai. Tiyuvta, we take it, fragged up that second man diyoma. However, Zukti Mora, the halach is palganiska kenasa. I don't understand. Tiyufta vehilchasa. Here we had a convincing grand slam home run, a riot to the mandiyama that holds palganiska mamayna. And we said tiyufta that the other mandiyama is totally refuted. In Yiddish they say, ogifregt, he's refuted. And now you tell me we paskin like him. Does that make sense? And yes, it does make sense, because we have an answer after all to this final diak. Taima mai itoisiv. What's the basis of your tiyufta? Mishum loiktani kimoshe hizik. It should have said in the Mishnah that any time a person who pays anything other than the exact damage, it's a knas. Why did it say in the Mishnah dafki yesel mashe hizik? It should go and say that kol she'ena mishalim kimoshe hizik. I'll tell you why. It didn't say that in the Mishnah because loy psikole. Because they're like almost all rules, there's an exception to the rule. Because kimen de ikka chatzi nezik tsroiris, delchazigmira la dem a minahu, misham hachi loikitani. What is this all about? Mention when we get to above the comma, we're going to learn about this in greater detail. What means chatzi nezik tsroiris? So, again, without going through the whole mesechta above the comma, but just kind of as a general introduction, there are three different forms of hezek of a shor. A shor can be mazik through keren, or shein, or regel. What is keren, shein, or regel? Keren is what we've been talking about until now. That is goring. When it comes to keren, there is a distinction between chutzi nezek and nezek shalim. That distinction is between a shor tam and a shor muad. Shortam, up to three times, you got to go and pay chutzi nezek. After that, you have to pay nezek shalem. That's what we've been talking about until now. That's keren. But you also have shein v'rega. Shein means what happens if an animal takes a bite out of fruits, out of tvua, out of another animal, and causes damage by biting, by eating. That's called shein. That the Gemara assumes that the animal is a mu'ad mitchilosai, because that's the natural tendency of an animal. Just like lahavdil human beings, we all need to eat, lahavdil an animal needs to eat. If you don't give the animal enough to eat, he's going to go and bite. He's going to go and bite the other person's fruits, the other person's tvua. He's going to start eating from the wheat and from the barley, whatever he can find. For that matter, if he finds small little animals, small fowl, he'll eat that too, whatever he needs to go and, you know, satisfy his hunger. So therefore, it's a mu'ad mitchilasai. And therefore, you have to pay nezik shalom. Same thing as regel. Regel means anytime the animal walks down in Rosh Hashanah and steps on kelim of whatever sort, what happens then? Obviously, the kelim are going to go and break. No, again, you can't stop an animal from walking, and you wouldn't want to stop an animal from walking. So therefore, every time it walks on something or other, it's going to be mud mitchilasai. I don't think it's Rosh Hashanah, it's vir b'steyacher, it'd have to be in Rosh Hashanah nizik. Okay, but that's not the discussion for today. So the point is, when it comes to keren, we have the distinction between nezik sholem and chutzi nezik, difference between tam and mu'ud. However, both shein and regel are considered to be mu'odim mitchilosan. But when it comes to the case of regel, there is one exception. The exception is, what happens if the animal is walking and damages odim the kalim in its walking, but not by treading on or trampling on the other person's kli, but rather by tsroirois. Tsroirois means that the animal, whilst it's walking, went and kicked up some pebbles, and those pebbles jumped up and hit a kli and damaged the kli. So that's not a classic case of regel. Classic case of regel would mean that the animal stepped on the kli and tishmetered it and shattered it. Here we're talking about as a result of kicking up little pebbles. That's what caused the kli to be damaged. So says our Gemara, the tsroirois, you only pay chutzi nezek. It's not because of a mu'ud or tam situation. Even if this happens 100 times, well, actually, the Gemara in the Masechta Bava Kamma talks about whether there's an inyan of mu'ud by tsroirois. But pushup shat, the din of tsroirois is that's the halacha l'moish misina. You always pay chutzi nezek, even though it's mu'ud mitchilasan, but it's not that the animal tramples or treads on something, it kicks up the treasures. So what's the din? The halacha l'moish misina is you pay chutzi nezek, and it's mamoinahu. That's part of the halacha l'moish misina. It's not knas, it's mamoin. So therefore, if a person is moidi, yes, my animal kicked up some tsroirois and caused damage to your property, then you'd have to go and pay, because it's not moidi b'knas, it's talking about mishalim al piyatzmoi. So therefore, I have a case of an animal or a mazik paying something different than the amount of damage. So that's why I couldn't say in our Mishnah that zehaklol kol she'enim mishalim kimoshe hizik enim mishalim al piyatzmoi. This is a case where you're not mishalim kimoshe hizik. By chutzi nezik tsroirus, you're paying only 50%, but you are mishalim al piyatzmoi. And that's the reason why it didn't say that lashon in the Mishnah. And therefore, says Yomar, v'hashu the amris palganis knasim. Now that you have concluded that chutzi nezik is a knas, so then says the Gemara, I have similar cases. Hay kalba di ochel imri v'shunra di ochel tarnegoyli ravravi mishunahu v'loy magvinim above. If you have a kelev that went and ate up imri, imri means a little lamb. You had a young lady by the name of Mary, and Mary had a little lamb, and now my kelev came and did something which is not so merry. It went ate up that little lamb. Do klovim, do dogs normally eat up lambs? No. This is very, very unusual. Or if you have a shunra, shunra is a cat or something from the cat family. You have that in the Haggadah. The shunra usually eats up the chad gadya. Apparently there was no gadya over here. So it ate up tarnegoyli. Tarnegoyli are roosters or hens. Ravravi, big ones, not small little chicks. We're talking about Big, big roosters of hens. Is that normal? No, says Gemara Mishunahu. That's very unusual. Since it happens to be unusual, says Rashi, this is not a case of Shane. This is a case of Karen. And since this is the first time, it would be a din of Chutzi Nezek. Since it's a din of Chutzi Nezek, it's a din of Knas, like the Gemara just finished saying. Palganiska Knasa. Because of that, Le Magdina B'Bavel. Today, when we are living in Bavel, in the times of the Gemara, we do not have Dayanim Mumchim like in Eretz Yisrael. They don't have that smicha of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, they don't have the right to go and assess Knossos. Only Mominus, Loi Magdina B'Bavel, you cannot go and collect in a Bezin in Bavel. Avo, what happens if the Kelev, not the Kelev, what happens if the Shunra didn't eat Tarnagoli Ravravi, but ate Tarnagoli Zutri, Avo Zutri, Zutri means small little ones, like little chicks that were just hatched a few days ago, nice and small. Archihu, this already would be normal for a Shunra to go and eat up. Therefore, Magvinan, you would be able to collect, because it's not Knas. This is traditional Mominus, which even the Dayanim in Bavel are authorized to do. Vitofas, what happens if the Nizik says, if I can't go to Bezin, I'm going to take actions, I'm going to take matters into my own hands, and he goes and chops away money from the mazik, meaning the owner of the dog or the owner of this cat, to go and collect for the damage, we cannot take the money away from him. In other words, Mitzana Din, he's really entitled to the money. It's just we, the Dayanim, the judges, are not authorized. So if he took matter in his own hands, and he took the money, we don't have the authority to take it away from him, and he can hold on to it. The Iomar Ikvuli Zimnul Eretz Yisrael, what happens if the victim says, that's the Nizik, says to the Mazik, I want to go and get paid. I'm going to go and send a letter to the Bezin Yerushalayim. I'd like to have a court case there, because there they are authorized to go and assess penalties, because they have the Yonim Mumchim. Mikvin Alei, yes, the Nizik can force the Mazik to go with him to Eretz Yisrael, to have a Din Torah, so that he can go and collect on the Knas. V'li Eloi Ozel, and if the Mazik refuses to go, Misham Tirele, we would put him in Chayim, we would say, no, you gotta go. Look at the Hezik that you caused. We cannot go and enforce it here, because here in Bava we don't have the Yonim Mumchim. So go to Eretz Yisrael. Besides that, says Yimar, Benkach Benkach Misham Tinelei. Anyway, we're going to go and put the Mazik into Chayim, unless and until he gets rid of this dangerous animal that he owns. Jamrinle, we tell him, Solik Hezekach, get this Mazik out of your Ishus. Midram Nosin, the son of Nosin Oimer. Minayishli Yigadl Odom Kelev Rabbe Toich Beisai. A person is not allowed to hold on to a vicious, evil, bad dog that is eating up the Imri or causing damage. And you're not allowed to hold on to an infirm, unstable ladder in your home, because a person won't know he's going to climb up the ladder and Chas V'Shalom will fall down. How do I know, Shenemar? So in addition to the Nizik's Taina to the Mazik, come up with me to Yerushalayim to go be done this Din Torah, where if he refuses, we're going to put him into Chayim. Even besides that, we're going to go and put him into Chayim until he gets rid of this dog. Once he gets rid of the dog, we can go and remove the first Chayim. However, the other Chayim will remain until and unless he goes up to Yerushalayim to be done the Din Torah, or of course until he pays. If he decides, you know what, it's not worth the time and expense to go to Eretz Yisrael, I'm just going to pay you the Chutzi Nezek for the damage that was done, that's also good. He doesn't have to go. And with that, he won't have to have the chayim, and he won't have to have the expense of the time. Hanloch Eilun Naris, Hanloch Eilun Naris, Hanloch Eilun Naris, and yet tomorrow we begin. Narish and Ispatata, Boishta Pigama Kanasa Shalavia. Yet to be continued tomorrow. Ishkoyach, everyone. Again.